Well, take your Bible and turn back to the Old Testament, 2 Kings chapter 4. 2 Kings chapter 4. Now, if you have an old Scofield, it's on 424. So if you have another Bible, it might be very close to that. But let me read that first verse. We'll go back to our study then with the traveling and the children of Israel next week. But this is a story from the Old Testament about a mother and about Elisha. But let me read verse 1, 2 Kings chapter 4, verse 1. Now there cried a certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophets unto Elisha, saying, Thy servant, my husband, is dead. And thou knowest that thy servant did fear the Lord, and the creditors is come to take unto him my two sons to be bondsmen. Let's pray. Father in heaven, how we thank thee for this time as we celebrate Mother's Day. We do thank thee for the mothers that are here. And of course, Lord, we just rejoice at that. And we pray that you'll be with us as we try to visit our mothers. A lot of us, our mothers have passed on and on the other side with you. But we know there's coming a day that we'll all be together. And we do pray for the needs that have been mentioned this morning. We do pray for Jerry, especially as we think of him and going to the doctor tomorrow and getting the results of the test. We just pray that there'll be something they can do to take care of the situation. We do pray also for Sandra. We pray for this eye to heal up right away, and just pray that you'll be with her, be with Bill, be with the other needs that we have, Lord. We just pray that you'll be with us all, for we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Now take your Bible and turn to 2 Kings, and let me just have a little opening here. It's not been too many verses. I guess this is really a relief, for there's so been so much that we've been on the travels of the children of Israel, traveling, and of course going to the Promised Land, and you got so much to read. It's kind of nice to have something to read that is not so many verses. But let's look at this. As we look at this, the love story of a mother and the love of God for a mother. In verses 1, we see her need. In verses 2, what she had. In verse 3 through 7, God met the need. Only the love of God is greater than the love of a mother. We men do not understand the love of a mother for her children that God has given her. This love of a mother is really a part of himself. The Lord has given to a woman and a mother. And we men, and even those of us who are fathers, do not fully understand. Now, of course, we understand from the receiving end because we all have a mother, whether male or female. For we had a mother. But the Lord has chosen the woman to be reproduce his love through them and by the way of bringing a child into the world. God has even created this love in animals. You know, you often see on some of these animal shows, you'll see an animal that the mother may be small, but there may be an enemy trying to attack her brood of little ones. And of course, she will fight them off and stand away. And you've often heard sometimes of even a human mother who have fought off people who were there to try to hurt or to hurt their children in some way. We have also heard of mighty deeds that women have done for her children. And there's just the love we men just don't really understand completely. Now let's look at this. In verse 1, we see her need. We see in these verses that she is in need. We see a wife and a mother who has her world falling apart. And of course, she as well as her husband, they loved the Lord and they served the Lord. And, of course, he was a prophet, so he was much, I guess we would think, like a preacher. He may have been a part of, you know, as we studied through these books some time ago about Elisha and a college, more or less, they had, that he may have been a part of that. She is usually the one who completely overlooks in the church, oftentimes, is really the pastor's wife, as this woman was, I guess. And, of course, maybe not appreciated. And of course, surely the Lord will have rewards for those who have served the Lord with their husband, as well as I would say for those who are mothers who would serve the Lord, you know, themselves They may not be the pastor's wife or anything like that, but they're a mother, and they're all important. Her husband may have been, as I mentioned before, a part of the school of prophets that we see in 1 Kings 20, verse 35. Her husband had died, and she is left alone, and the creditors are coming and wanting the money. And of course, they're going to take her sons into bondage to help pay for that. And this goes back to Leviticus 25, 39 to 40. And if thy brother that dwelleth by thee be waxed poor, and he is sold unto thee, thou shalt not compel him to serve as a bondservant, but as a hired servant, and as a sojourner, he be with thee, and shall serve unto the year of Jubilee. Now, the year of Jubilee was ever 50 years, that, you know, people would go broke like this, and then during that Jubilee, they would be released from that. But this was the thing that happened to her. They must have had debts, and of course, that they had to pay those debts, and they were taking her sons to work off those debts. Now, the time in the nation was a time of famine, and of course, both physically as well as spiritual famine. Kind of looks like our country today, doesn't it? Now, she knows who to go to. She knows Elisha, who is a man of God, who took the place of Elijah. And of course, he could direct her and show her where to have help. Now, Elijah is really often more preached about than Elisha. But you know, a lot of people don't really understand Elijah was more like an evangelist, going and hollering and all and hooting and getting it going. But you know, Elisha was more like a pastor, and he was more laid back. But you know, if you'll count all the things that God did through him, miracles, that really Elisha, really God accomplished more than double of what he did with Elijah. She cried out to the man of God, to the Lord. How often today we usually go to everyone else and before we go to the Lord. You know, we really ought to begin with the Lord, first and foremost. And of course, she's going to the man of God that she knows that can give her an answer from the Lord. Now, lost her husband, and now the creditors are coming to take her sons. Now, let me say something here to all husbands. We live in much a different place than in the days of Elisha and Elijah. We are called upon to care for our family while alive. And in the day we live in, we can look out for them even if we die before them. I heard of a very popular preacher one time say, well, I don't have any insurance. I'm just trusting the Lord for my family. Now, with all due respect, you know, God has given us a brain. Amen. And of course, I think that, you know, you have a responsibility as a man to take care of your family. And of course, to have, well, at least insurance on yourself that would cover your family while as you have gone on. And of course, it would also speak to a husband to leave his family with a large debt. Now, that sometimes happens too. You got a large debt, and it may be for a lot of trinkets that they have. And of course, the wife would suffer for that. That's probably not the case here. I'm sure that this man was probably not very rich himself, and probably the income probably wasn't too much either. Also, this speaks to a church today. When we see those in need, the Lord may touch your heart to help them. And you know they may need help, and especially those who have faith. The Lord will intervene. And we see over and over throughout the Bible his care for the widows and the fatherless. But surely he is expecting some of the folks that really in a church today who can help people at that time too. Now notice secondly, what she had. Notice what he asked her, verse 2. And Elisha said unto her, what shall I do for thee? Tell me, what hast thou in the house? And she said, thine handmaid hath not anything in the house save a pot of oil. Now, I don't know how big a pot of oil that was, but it was probably very small. Now, Elijah replies, surely all that she said of her husband being a man of God who feared the Lord is true, as well as surely she is really serving the Lord as well. How could I help? What is your request from me? Now, we do not know fully how the Lord communicated through the prophets. Oftentimes in those days, he would speak to them, and sometimes it may be through the Spirit of God. You know, much like, I'm not saying the Holy Spirit of God speaks to you audibly, but you know, the Holy Spirit of God can lead a Christian in ways. He'll lead you, maybe remind you of scripture that you've read, to decisions that you make and all. But the Holy Spirit of God is probably what's moving the prophet here, as often we as Christians have, the Word of God as well. Now, today, God often uses those means in believers. We have the Holy Spirit of God. If you know Christ as your Savior, the instant you trusted Christ as your Savior, you also received the Holy Spirit of God, and he's there forever. Now, what do you have is what the question is here. Now, God so often begins with what we already have, and to build upon that. Remember Moses in Exodus 4:2. He had that rod. And you know, he used that rod all through the time that they were in Egypt, before all time that they were, and when they delivered, and God delivered them, he was there. Now, Peter and the disciples had a boat. And remember, there's several times into John, and there's another instance too, that the Lord used that fishing boat and those fishermen and their net to bring glory to God when he gave them a great catch. Little as much, as one has said, when God is in it. If she had nothing, God could supply all her needs, but he will build upon what she has here. Not only materially, but you know, spiritually. You know, sometimes we just think of the material needs, but you know, God wants you to grow, go on in your faith. You know, that's important too, to go forward and to be used by him to bring glory to his name. In fact, I believe he has great joy in using the least to show all the world that he is the only living and true God. And you know, God has done that. You know, many people who may not have been the greatest student or greatest of this thing or that thing, but God has used them mightily and used them for his glory. Now, she only had a small pot of oil. Now, probably a little pot. And of course, it was probably olive oil, because they often used olive oil. They would use it for cooking, as well as also they could use it as fuel. But remember, you the woman also, in 1 Kings 17:9-16, and Elijah, this happened earlier, where she only had a little fire and oil. And of course, she was called upon to feed Elijah, the woman, and her son, and God continually gave her more, just in the same way we see this, where that she could cook and to serve and to really to feed them during the time of, that was another time of shortage of food. Spiritually speaking, for mothers, as well as all of us, we may not have much to give the Lord, but he can take a very small part and a very small part of oil and use it mightily for his glory and to bring glory to his name and people to Christ. Give God what you have, and he will multiply it. And I'm not talking about just material things. You know, as you're a Christian, he wants to use you. He wants to use you, and he can use you to bring glory to his name. God asks us materially as well as spiritually to give God what we have, and he will supply what we need. And of course, her solution here, she found what she had. Just a little bit of oil. Now notice, thirdly, God meets the need. Look at verses 3 and 4. And he said, go borrow the vessels abroad, all their neighbors, even empty vessels, borrow not a few. And when thou art come in, thou shalt shut the door upon thee and upon thy sons, and shall pour out into those vessels. And thou shalt set aside that which is full. Now, go borrow vessels. You know, being a time of famine, I'm sure there were a lot of people that had empty vessels that they could borrow. Not a few. He's speaking of getting many. It means many. Now her faith will be proven by how many empty vessels that she gets, verse 4. It makes it clear that the Lord is going to fill those with oil. Now notice also, how many I do not know, but how many do you trust the Lord for? You know, she be sure that he's leading you to do something like this. You know, a lot of people kind of go out on a limb. God's not calling you to do something unless he's leading you. Faith is not a leap in the dark, but taking God at his word. And she knows Elisha is a man of God, and he'd be speaking for the Lord. Wonder what the neighbors thought. What would you think? The neighbor comes in and says, you got any empty containers that I can borrow for a while? I don't want them, but I just want to use them for a while. Wonder what the neighbors thought. Wonder how the sons and what they thought, because we'll see that they were the ones going and getting the empty vessels. We do not know if they heard the word from the prophet or heard it from their mom about what they were to do. Now she said, he tells her to shut the door. You know, God is going to work and to meet their needs of this family, and not even the prophet will be present. Also, if the neighbors knew, and they knew what was taking place, I'm sure they'd come back for their vessel even before the oil was removed from it. Now, this also proves the faith of this mother, as well as proving beyond any doubt that the Lord is providing what is needed. This is precious time, really, for this family. God will work and increase the faith of the mother, and of course, to the sons as well. We often share testimonies on how the Lord has met our need, and probably the Lord will lead them to do later. But often there is time of events between the Lord and the saint of God and a family, and how God has led you and how God has supplied the needs in trying times. Now, she would be rewarded in the amount of faith, showing by the number of empty bottles that she has to fill with the oil. Now notice verses 5 and 6. So she went from him and shut the door upon her and upon her sons, who brought the vessels to her, and she poured out. And it came to pass, when the vessels were full, that she said unto her son, bring me yet another vessel. And he said unto her, there is not a vessel more. And the oil stayed. In other words, it stopped. Now, God is working. You know, I have to wonder. I have to wonder what through her mind when all of this was taking place. And, of course, those sons. I have a feeling that the vessel was much bigger than the pot that she was pouring them from. And as she poured the next one, and then she would call for another one, and it would fill another one up. Can you imagine the feeling of this mother? And I don't know how old the sons were, but I'm sure they were appreciative of it, even no matter what age they were. But as they saw what the Lord could do with a small pot of oil. We do not know how old those sons are, but of course this surely was something that will affect their life from here on. But all at once, the last vessel, and of course, there was all, and the oil stopped. Wonder if they thought we should have tried to get some more. But you know, as we go on, we'll see that there was plenty to supply the needs. Also, I wonder if this mom, and I wonder if we as moms and dads, as we share the blessings that God has done in our family, you know, oftentimes, you know, when you have needs, and every one of us, there's been a time, especially when you first get married, that you may not have a whole lot of money. And you just wonder how the Lord took you through all of it. But you know, when you begin to have children, now you don't have to scare them about, well, we don't have money for all of this. But you know, you can let them know as you pray together and pray for that need. And you would be surprised as those children get older when they see how God has supplied the need. And maybe at that time yourself, you didn't know for sure, but as you prayed, what a lesson that is to your children to know as they were raised, the same way these boys will think about, they're going to think about the Lord and how he's met this need. Their father had died, He was gone. The mama was there by herself. And, of course, how God met the need. Now, notice verse 7. Then she came and told the man of God, and he said, go sell the oil and pay thy debt, and live thou and thy children of the rest. Now, God met their need. God cares for widows. Now, if I had time, I'd look at all these verses. You can copy them down and look at these. Deuteronomy 10, 18. Psalm 68, 5. Psalm 146, 9. 1 Timothy 5. All speaks of godly widows. And, of course, as you think of mothers and all, you think of Proverbs 31, a Proverbs 31 wife. You know, my grandmother, lost her husband way back in 1907. He was a worker in the mines. And really what took place was, really, they had trouble with the mines and the company, and a lot of them were shooting guns. And, of course, he was killed through that and died. But, you know, she was just about 30 years old at that time, back in 1907. She had 5 kids to raise. And, of course, she took in laundry to help meet the need, as well as the kids, the ones that were older, they took jobs, and, of course, to pay for the bills and all. And they saw how God really used them as he supplied the needs. Sharon's mom was the same way, too, that Sharon's dad died when she was 11. And her mama, the older girls, had already gone out. But, you know, Sharon and her brother were still home, and she had to meet their needs. And, of course, God met that need. The widow had enough to pay off the debt, as well as they had enough that they could live on. God may not perform a miracle to pay your debt. He may say today, how much money are you spending? And of course, a lot of times we need to use our brain and not spend to the end to where you're in debt to no end. He will meet our needs if we will trust and obey him. In Philippians 4:9, my God shall supply all your needs. It doesn't say all your wants, but it says your needs. Now, there's one thing a lot of preachers don't look at that. You look at the context of where that's at. In Philippians, he's speaking to the church at Philippi. The church at Philippi were one of the first churches that supported Paul in the missionary journeys. And, of course, I think he's talking to them. That as they were trying to meet Paul's needs and to help the ministry and to give it to the Lord, that God was supplying their needs through that too. And, of course, as you think of that, it's not just saying, I'll do nothing and God will just do it all. But I think that's the brief, of that verse. What a story of faith. And I'm persuaded that most godly women demonstrate this much more than we men. You know, as you look back to your home, it sometimes makes you wonder, how in the world did your mother supply and feed all the family? How did she do that? And, of course, this godly mother, she was concerned. And, of course, I think of my grandmother. I think of Sharon's mom, too. I knew them very well, you know, for years. I used to run around as her brother, so I knew the whole family. And I knew how she and God supplied the needs there. But, you know, as you think of this, this story is about a mother who loved her Lord. She loved her husband. She loved her sons. The best gift that you can leave your children with, husbands and children, you need to show your wives and your moms how much that you love and appreciate her. Now, especially this day, but it's not just one day. She's your mama all through that time. Moms, remember this mother. She surely was a godly mother. And, of course, that's the mother he's speaking about here, a godly mother as well as a godly husband. She knew to go to the Lord in her time of trouble. She went to the prophet, and I'm sure she poured out her heart to God as well. These sons had a message that they saw in her life that would lead them to trust the Lord as they grew up and had their own families. You know, God used what she had to meet the needs. She had to be willing to give it to him. Now, when you think of the material things, it's one thing, too, as we support. But, you know, God wants to use you, whether you be a mother, a father, a son, a daughter. And we see that he will use it all to bring glory to his name. And of course, God does what we cannot. Moms, dads, kids, have you given ourselves, you know, as empty vessels? I don't mean empty-headed, but I mean an empty vessel open to allow the Lord to use you, to fill you, control you, and to allow you to be used of him to bring glory to his name, and of course, people to Christ and to know about the Lord Jesus. Maybe you don't know Christ. And you know, we always, at the end of a message on Sunday morning, we always bring out the gospel. You know, we don't want anyone going home not knowing how to know Christ as your Savior. You know, the Bible makes it clear. Romans 3:10, Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There is none righteous, no, not one. Now, that's the first place you got to stop. You got to realize, first of all, I can't work my way to heaven. I'm just a sinner. There's nothing I can offer. You know, our salvation, there was only three that could go to the cross for us. That was either the Father, the Son, or the Holy Spirit. And of course, it was chosen that Christ would go to pay the sin debt through his death, burial, and resurrection. The first thing you have to realize, there's nothing I can do. You can be as good as you want to be. You can give money to the church and give this or do that or do work. But the very fact, when it comes to salvation, we have to realize that you're just a sinner. Now, that's hard to take, but that's the place that we all have to come. But to realize there's nothing I can do, but we know a little verse, John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That word belief means to trust and to rely upon. It's when you come to the place in your life, Lord, there's nothing I can do. I'm just an old sinner. And of course, as Isaiah 64 verse 6 says, the best that man can do is filthy rags. There's no way you can work your way. But it's when you realize, Lord, there's nothing I can do, but you did it all through your death, burial, and resurrection on the cross. You paid the debt. And it's when you come to the place, Lord, I'm a sinner, but I'm going to put my whole life and my whole trust in you and what you did on that cross to save me. He went to the cross, he died, he was buried, he rose again the third day. And if you put your faith in him, we have his promise that one day we'll live with him. Friend, do you know Christ as your Savior? Now, I might say also to believers, you know, in the book of John, 1 John 1:9, we have a verse in there, he's speaking to Christians. It speaks of the fact that we've sinned. Sometimes we sin as Christians. But you know, when we sin, you don't lose your salvation if you're truly saved, but you lose that close fellowship with the Lord. But if we will confess our sins, as the Bible tells us, it speaks of the thought of turning from it and admitted, Lord, I sinned, I did wrong. You don't lose your salvation, you still go to heaven, but you lose that closeness when you allow sin between you and him, when you confess it and turn from it. And as a Christian, to go on in your Christian life and to live for him. Maybe Christ is speaking to someone today. Let's bow our head just for a moment before we close. If you're here today and maybe God's speaking to your heart and you'd like to know more, I'd love to share it with you, or someone here would share with you about salvation and, of course, about maybe as a believer got away from the Lord and, of course, to get things straightened out. But the all-important thing is to be ready. And God's promises, he'll take care of that situation. Let's bow our head just for a moment and then we'll close in prayer.